Go ahead and tell me you got all you want. Fiverr says you're wrong. And I suppose
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. This is TCNT Movie Talk. We talk about movies in theaters this week, DVD and Blu-ray releases this week. Movies and shows as well that are new out on streaming. Movies out this week 10 years ago, movies out this week 20 years ago, and whatever else we feel like talking about.
Yes, that's right.
That's John Justice. And across the table from John is Drew Lee.
Hi.
And we also have comedian Corey Adam. And I am Sam Sansphere. Movies and theaters this week, we'll start with that. We've got El Chicano, The Intruder, Ugly Dolls, and Long Shot.
Yeah, the only one on this list that I'm interested in, but I don't need to go to the theater to see it, even though I have the A-list, would be Long Shot.
I agree with you. I was looking up each of these movies, and I also, like, that was the one movie that I was like, okay, I could check that out. But because I'm interested in the fact that, like, are rom-coms coming back now? Because it looks like a rom-com, right? Am I right?
It absolutely looks like a rom-com.
It looks like a weird rom-com meld of a, you know, sort of a Judd Apatow knocked up, funny people meets sort of a rom-com.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's just because it's got Seth Rogen in it.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
It had that vibe to it, but yeah, right. Seth Rogen kind of.
Yeah.
It's under the category, of, at least according to Google, of comedy / rom-com.
Is Apatow involved with it in any way? Do we know? I don't recall hearing that.
Yeah, it doesn't.
He's probably a producer. Like,
maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
It does not say anything about Apatow.
Okay. Yeah, he might not be involved with it at all. But I know like Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg have kind of taken that mantle, and they've started making their own sort of style of movies coming out of that Apatow tree or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it looks cute. It looks fun. I like Seth Rogen. I think Seth Rogen is pretty funny in most things that he's in. I never have a problem watching an hour and a half of Charlize Theron. So, you know,
agreed.
It's like that's enough, I guess, to get me to probably go see that movie. But I don't know if I'll go see it in theaters.
Sam, do you have the synopsis for The Intruder?
For The Intruder? I sure do.
And I only bring it up because I think... Drew, you might be interested in this, just based off of something I saw on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah, this is this movie's got Dennis Quaid, Megan Good, Michael.
Oh, yeah, I have seen ads for this.
Ailey. So your synopsis, Scott and Annie Russell couldn't be happier after buying their dream home from a mysterious and lonely widower named Charlie in Napa Valley, California. Their newfound paradise soon turns into a living nightmare when Charlie, still strangely attached to the house, begins to show up and interfere in their daily lives. When his erratic behavior turns to obsession, the young couple soon find themselves caught up in a violent confrontation that threatens to destroy everything they hold dear.
I don't know.
Spooky.
I mean, here's my problem with it. My initial problem with it is it's PG-13.
Yeah, fair.
You know, if you're gonna do a movie that is designed to, you know, draw out suspense, maybe scare me a little bit, be a thriller, it's like, just go for the R. Like, don't be afraid of the R.
Get that R. Too often when they try to keep
their movie, you know, clean enough to get that PG-13 rating, they take out a lot of the things. It's really hard to make, I think, a good, scary, suspenseful movie without crossing into that R territory.
Yeah.
You know, so when I see PG-13 on a movie that is clearly designed to be a horror film or a thriller film, that makes me skeptical. Not to say they're all bad. There have been some good ones, but I think the majority of them are not.
So I'm a little bit confused.
That one has Dennis Quaid in it, right?
Correct. It does.
And that is why I will avoid it. You cannot point to a decent movie with Dennis Quaid in it. It's not possible.
Ooh. I will accept that challenge. Look into it.
You might be able to find it, but you're going to be going through some titles.
I will accept that challenge.
There's a headline for a movie review for The Intruder. It says, Dennis Quaid is the yuppie from hell in the giggle-inducing home invasion thriller The Intruder.
Nothing is funnier than home invasion.
Yeah,
giggly home invasion.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well. It's got 28% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh. Yeah, no. Are you looking at his IMDb?
Not yet. I'm okay. Getting there.
I'm kind of confused because, so this, I don't know if I'm misunderstanding like this paragraph from this movie review, but this is from, let's see, avfilm.com or something, AV Club. And it says, Sony knows exactly the kind of movie it has in its new home invasion thriller, The Intruder, encouraging viewers to talk back to the film advanced screenings for a chance to be included in marketing materials further down the line, and which... I don't understand what that means. Were they encouraging people to actually like talk to this, like talk out loud during the screening?
Maybe that's what it was. Because I saw this clip that somebody had shared yesterday that had a woman that was talking to the screen in the theater and all that.
Oh,
so maybe this is part of.
So that's part of their marketing campaign, is getting video of people like reacting out loud to the movie, because
right.
It says this is indeed a film that's designed to elicit involuntary mutterings or perhaps even full volume cries in the vein of look behind you or he's in the house, as the characters in The Intruder lack not only common sense but also peripheral vision.
He was in a couple good movies in the 80s, I think, now that I think about it. I think he was in Enemy Mine. Or was that Dennis Quaid?
You got to go back. Well, we're talking about Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, we're talking about Dennis Quaid.
Or Randy Quaid.
Yeah, you kind of have to go back to the 80s. A movie that I really, really liked, and I'm not going to say it's a good movie, but I really, really liked it back then.
Innerspace?
Innerspace was good, though. Innerspace was funny. Dreamscape.
Yeah,
that was
a fun bad movie.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like he's in some fun bad movies, but he's not in good movies. Like, look at how far back you're going now.
Enemy Mine.
Enemy Mine's great.
Enemy Mine is a great movie. I forgot he was in that.
He was in The Day After Tomorrow.
That movie sucks.
You suck.
Sam, real quick, it's no interesting. Ugly Dolls is based off of stuff for kids, right?
And that's it's an animated movie. This was made by Troublemaker Studios.
Yeah, yeah, you're an ugly doll.
But the ugly dolls are.
It's not even true.
Does Sienna have any ugly dolls? A little no.
Is that like a line of dolls?
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
It's a line of toys that are kind of collectible that people get into because they have different characters. It's reminiscent of the Beanie Baby fad.
Yeah.
When Beanie Babies were a big thing.
Trolls,
right. Yeah. Yeah. So ugly dolls are a specific brand of toy that people collect.
Okay. I think that my puppy has an ugly doll.
Okay, they're meant for kids.
She is my
kid. Not pets to chew, but okay.
She doesn't chew them. You've got a pretty decent cast for ugly dolls, because you've got, I mean, in terms of like pop culture, I guess, because you've got Nick Jonas, Kelly Clarkson, Bebe Rexha,
HX, man,
Lizzo, Charlie XCX,
exactly,
Emma Roberts, Janelle Monáe, yeah. Pitbull, Blake Shelton, Gabriel Iglesias, and Wanda Sykes.
Yeah, I don't, you know, having a list of recognizable names for an animated film doesn't really do much for me.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you know,
it's like, just interesting to
especially
me.
Especially, like, I feel like if your animated film requires you to put all those names front and center, as if that's why you think people will come see it, that tells me it's probably not a very good movie.
Yeah.
You know, if you're marketing it based on the names, then chances are it kind of sucks.
Hey, Sam, real quick before you move on to DVD and Blu-ray releases, just wanted to take a moment and mention the passing of Peter Mayhew.
Yeah.
You know, we mentioned it on the show. Again, passing at age 74 came as a real big surprise. We were on our way back from the work event yesterday when I came across Twitter, and that was not. I know that he had been dealing with issues just in regards to his legs and his hip and had to have some surgeries, and that's why Jonas Suotomo had taken over the role of Chewbacca in the films. But again, I was unaware that he was ailing at all, and apparently passed away in his home in Texas. And like we mentioned on the show, I also didn't know this, but apparently people of that stature...
I mean, he was 7 foot, 7 foot 3?
Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah. And apparently that comes with a lot of health issues, including the fact that most people don't. He lived past the age that most people of that stature live. And just sad.
Do you think his last words were Chewbacca noises?
I doubt it. I was the thing that was really cool yesterday was that after the news broke, people that I actually know just through Twitter and social networking and through the Star Wars podcast and all that, the number of people that were posting online that they had met him and had taken selfies with him.
Oh, very cool.
He did so much on the convention circuit, and was always willing to take a picture with the fan.
That's
I was shocked at the number of people that had pictures with him. And again, Drew, you mentioned it. His whole career was based off of this one role, and he really was beloved within the Star Wars
fandom. Within the Star Wars community. Beloved, I think, even beyond that, a global celebrity for doing a role where we never saw his face and we never heard his voice.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It is.
That's
really
pretty
impressive.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like, people could actually pick him out of a lineup and they never saw his face in the movie. Like, people could not pick out the guy that was actually Darth Vader in a lineup.
Right.
Like, they could pick out James Earl Jones.
I would even say Anthony Daniels.
Yeah.
That would probably stand true. Like, if you put Anthony Daniels up on a stage with a bunch of, like, five or six other people and said, which one's C-3PO?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, no, they would. No, I completely disagree.
The fandom would.
He kind of looks like C-3PO.
He kind of does.
I'm going to push back on that. I would actually say that Anthony Daniels is more recognizable than Peter Mayhew is. If they were sitting down, not standing up.
And I can actually say, because I watched the panel for the Rise of Skywalker. I was watching it before they announced the name. I was watching that panel, and I had never, I don't think that I'd ever actually seen Anthony Daniels prior to that. Even a photo of him or anything. I don't really pay attention. I'm a new fan. So I had never seen C-3PO without his suit on. And I kind of just from watching for a couple minutes, figured out without them saying anything, because I missed that part where they introduced him, figured out that he was C-3PO. So just something about the way that he moves and his body type, I guess.
Well, and the thing about Peter Mayhew, too, in that role, and to what Drew was saying about how well-known he was without ever seeing his face, he trained that character that he did for so many years as being Chewbacca. He actually had to train Yona Tsubutomo on his mannerisms so that people would not immediately recognize that it was somebody else. You can't just put somebody in the Chewbacca suit and then immediately go, that's Chewbacca. Like, he had to, down to, and this, I thought this was really interesting, Peter Mayhew taught him how, when he's in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, when he's doing the controls, watch Chewbacca in any of the films that Peter Mayhew does, and he slaps him. He's like, he taught him that when you're in the Falcon, when you do the controls, even though he's just sitting there.
Right.
He's got little mannerisms of, like, tilting his head, the little things that he did. He walks a little bow-legged, and when he hits the controls, he's slapping them. And he taught him how to do that. Because I guess when they first started shooting the new guy, something was off. And they were like, this doesn't look right. And so Peter Mayhew to come in, he's like, yeah, because he's not touching the controls right. He's like, you got to slap him down because of the way his hands were. And I guess Lucas had directed him specifically to do that because of the way the fur on his hands were. You couldn't see his fingers, so he wanted to be really sort of overemphasize his hand movements.
Like a Muppet.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It's just, we're at that point now when it comes to the original cast of Star Wars. There's very few... You know,
Thought Mark Hamill would still be alive, though? I thought he did enough drugs that he would have been the first to go.
Well, especially consider Carrie Fisher was the youngest of them all. Harrison Ford was the oldest. I mean, he was already in his early 40s when he shot A New Hope.
But, I mean, when you look at Mark Hamill's face now and versus when he was a kid, you can see all the years of drug use. It's just crazy that he's still around.
I didn't realize that Harrison Ford was that old.
Oh, he's super old.
76.
He was on the cover of AARP magazine, 2 years ago.
Freaking Indiana Jones movie.
No, he is not.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking about him doing it.
Kill me now. Ugh.
Yeah, but when they did.
It's a sequel to Crystal Skulls because that movie was so good.
He's going to find a buried treasure in a china cabinet at a retirement home.
Duh.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher was like 18 years old when she did.
X Marks the Vase.
And he was I think he was in his late 30s, early 40s.
That's insane.
Yep.
Wow.
All right, so there you go.
DVD and Blu-ray releases this week. What Men Want and the Lego Movie 2, the second part.
I'm actually looking forward to Lego Movie 2 and picking that up. The soundtrack in that movie was oddly really, really good.
Is that the one really with the song with Everything's Not Awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there was the super, you had to fight, the one by Beck. That was Beck and somebody else.
Super awesome.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
The original movie was so good that I didn't know what they were going to do with that second movie. And the second movie, I thought, I think the first one's still a little bit better, But the second movie's not, like, it didn't completely eclipse the second one. It was a fun movie.
I haven't seen the second one yet. I love the first
one. Yeah, I mean, if you like the first one, the first one's better, but the second one's got the same feel and the same funniness, and they're really tongue-in-cheek. It's great.
I like the tone.
Yeah.
I like
those Lego movies are a blast.
The style of their humor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The way they go about crafting their jokes and getting you to laugh, it's very self-referential.
Yeah.
It's very self-aware.
It never takes itself serious. Did you see the Lego Batman movie?
Yes, that was hilarious.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, my God. Lego Batman is one of my favorite characters
it's
in anything.
It's so great.
He's so freaking funny. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to seeing the sequel.
It's good. You'll like it.
If I had to pick any, I haven't watched any of the Lego movies, and if I had to pick any one of them to watch first.
The first one.
The first one.
The first one is one of the best movies of the last few years.
Oh, yeah, wow. It's a lot.
And the soundtrack is amazing, but the Lego movie originally, I went in, and I think part of the reason I enjoyed it so much was I had no expectations. Like, I went in there not knowing, I'm like, why are they making a Lego movie? This is going to be crap. And then it was just, everything was awesome. They were not lying.
I was concerned going into two because I liked the first one, but I was like, how are you gonna? The second one is interesting because they very much obviously sort of kept with the same type of format as they did with the first one, extending the story and sort of bringing it beyond what it was in the Lego. I don't want to spoil anything for Sam. But it surprisingly held up well. And again, like, I'll mention it again, the soundtrack. Even the Tiffany Haddish villain thing.
It's so good.
And there's an interesting – and I forgot. There's actually an interesting – not giving it away because neither of them have seen it. But there's an interesting twist in it
you
don't really see coming that really paid off.
I loved the song, like, Everything's Not – like, they just did a lot of tongue-in-cheek references to the first movie that was just fun.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys seen What Men Want?
No. I had no desire to see it.
Yeah, I have zero desire.
And I'll tell you what, Drew, and I don't know if it rings true for the whole movie. Drew and I had a discussion about this when the trailer came out, is that based off of what we saw in the trailer, it was like, did a dude not write the internal dialogue of the dudes that we saw the internal dialogue of in the trailer? Because that's not what dudes would say.
Well, and I imagine that a lot of women, when they saw similar movies, you know, because that movie's been done with the guy.
Mel Gibson. Right. Yeah, right. And that's exactly it. I didn't even like that Mel Gibson movie.
I never saw
it. So why would I? Yeah. I got forced to see that one and I hated it.
Yeah.
And then this one, it's like, wait, they're rebooting a crappy Mel Gibson movie? Are you kidding me?
Well, for anyone that's listening that doesn't know what they're talking about, it's a movie about a woman who drinks a weird concoction that suddenly allows her to hear what men are thinking. And it's a little ridiculous.
You said, whoever wrote it was not, like, that's not anything men think about.
I checked out of the trailer the moment the one guy started, like, joking about how he crop dusted the place. And it's like, nobody.
Right.
Bread, cancer.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. The kind of scumbags that are going to, like, laugh about crop dusting, they will say it out loud.
If somebody thinks crop dusting is funny,
they're not hiding.
They want to tell the world that they crop dust.
Because I used to work in restaurants, and the people that would crop dust, they would tell you. There's nobody that's secretly like, man, crop dusting's funny. I'm just going to keep this to myself.
I used to have a boss that would come into my office He thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
But he told you about it out loud.
You would know because he would stand in the doorway and lift his leg up up laughing.
I would quit. I would.
I never knew you worked in Alabama. Good for you.
No, so yeah, you're right. If you think crop dusting is funny, it's because you want to tell the world about it.
So Cracked.com and the Cracked podcast used to be great. It sucks now. but they used to do these really interesting deep dives in the films where they were sort of deconstruct them. One of the best ones ever, I don't know if you ever heard it, Corey, was one where they went and they deconstructed, like, horror movies. And they talked about how ridiculous if you look at it from the angle of the serial killer and what they have to actually go through to do, like Jason, when he travels to another city and waits and puts a head in a refrigerator, like, it just completely falls apart. The thing about have you never heard this before? I'll share the link.
I think that you've told me about this
really
before.
It's really good.
I'll share the link with you. It is so great.
Crazy hot take. When I was a kid, I liked Cracked magazine more than Mad.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
And then Cracked started to suck and Mad was okay, but yeah.
Here's the thing about a movie like What Men Want and What Women Want. If you really did that premise, like, legit, it would not be a comedy.
Right.
It'd probably be depressing.
It would be a depressing.
It would be boring.
It would be a depressing drama.
The main protagonist would go crazy.
Right.
And everybody over the age,
absolutely insane.
Everybody over the age of 60 would be constantly worried about soiling themselves.
Like if you were in a position where you were next to somebody,
I don't know if I'm gonna make
don't
it.
Don't pee.
It would be uncomfortable. It would be an uncomfortable, serious drama about people dealing with finding out what individuals actually think about them. Like, it would really be a depressing tale about the individual who had the power.
And there would be so many, like, un-PC thoughts, because the whole thing is, like, you know, like mild racism or something. Like, these are thoughts that people think that they don't express because they can't or they won't, which is fine. But, like, if you actually had an insight to what people think, that's not anything you want to see.
No, it actually would make, like, that story, if you really sat down and crafted it out, would actually be, like, I actually feel like you could do something really special with that. Like, to the person that actually had that ability and the impact it would have on them and how they would deal with everyday life.
You could come up with a better name, too. You could call it, like, Game of Domes or something.
Right. But think about it. It's not just coworkers. I mean, people you like, your family members, your spouse.
Yeah.
Like, if you actually had the ability to be next to somebody and find out what they were thinking, right. Like, that would be, it would not be a comedy by any stretch.
Well, it would be so abrasive, because it would be like you sitting next to your wife, like, how are you doing, honey? And then your wife would be like, F this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I
like
don't care.
Yeah.
I'm simply listening to you right now.
I hope he shuts up and watches a Star Wars movie. I'm leaving.
Yes, exactly. He's watching that again. My gosh, I'm so glad that I don't have to work. It's the only reason why I'm in this relationship and marriage at
all.
Oh,
good. Whoa. More Geraldo talk.
That got
maybe
a
being
little
single
personal.
Again wouldn't be that bad.
I just wish Drew would do some sit-ups.
I wish Corey was funny.
Oh. That hurts.
Damn.
Is that what I sound like? Wow. This has been a very disillusioning episode of Movie Talk.
Movie's out this week 10 years ago. X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh.
Ghost of...
Oh.
There's
God.
More. And Ghosts of Girlfriend's Past.
No, all that needs to be talked about is just what a hot garbage mess.
I'll let you guys handle
X-Men
that one.
Origins.
I don't
check
know,
this
man.
Out. Check
I
this
a,
out.
You know, I have a friend that loved that movie so much. She got a just giant tattoo of Wolverine.
Ugh. Are you kidding me? They
oh my
butchered.
Her
they butchered
entire
it.
Deadpool.
Arm.
Yeah. Deadpool is known for talking, and they sewed his mouth shut and made him look like Baraka from Mortal Kombat.
And it's still, that's what the only relevancy that X-Men Origins Wolverine has is that they butchered Deadpool.
And Sabretooth.
Made it a mockery, and now you've got the same guy that played that character in that movie actually did an incredible version of what Deadpool was supposed to be in his movies being Ryan Reynolds.
The story about Ryan Reynolds and all the money that he put on the executive producing side to get a Deadpool that was actually decent is really interesting, because he was working on that forever. Wolverine Origins, you could take that movie and transfer it into the DC universe, and it would still be one of the worst DC movies. Like, take that in.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
My friend got a full sleeve tattoo of Wolverine.
The only thing that's mildly interesting about that movie is when they do Wolverine through history.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was the only thing. Ghost of Girlfriend's Past, I've never.
But the second Wolverine Origins was garbage. That Old Man Logan one was good, though. I liked that movie.
I liked the Wolverine and the director's cut of the Wolverine.
Is that what it's called? The Wolverine? I just didn't like it because like,
the
whole premise.
Guy at the end.
But the whole premise of it is somebody sneaking up on him. That's impossible. It's impossible.
Is Wolverine a DC comic?
No, he's Marvel, but he was stolen
Marvel.
From a DC character named Timberwolf. If you ever want to look up Timberwolf, and you'll see, like, the hair, the shape, everything is identical. But he has Sabretooth's thing.
Okay. I got confused.
But he's Marvel.
Ghost of Girlfriend's Past?
No idea.
Nope.
No idea.
Okay. Movies out 20 years ago, The Mummy.
The Mummy was actually really...
Fun movie.
Yeah, fun movie. Brendan Fraser. You know, it was no Raiders of the Lost Ark, but it was definitely in that sort of milieu, and Rachel Wise in it. It was solid.
I think The Mummy was a better sequel to Indiana Jones than Crystal Skull was.
That's pretty funny.
And I also think that The Mummy suffers from the same thing as Pirates of the Caribbean, where the first movie is really good, but the next movies that followed are so bad that I will never watch it again.
This has been TCNT Movie Talk, right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. We're super cool every week, so tune in again next
week.
We gotta bring both sides together like champagne.